From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Measurable Progress Toward Certain Victory, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua was responsible to ready his people for fighting to take over the Promised Land. God had promised that land to Abraham and his descendants long ago, and now he confirmed that promise to Joshua. In verse 3 of chapter 1, our text, God said to Joshua, Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. As he began this message, Dr. Cairns emphasized that the conquest of the land, as well as victory in the Christian life, is accomplished one step at a time. Joshua had a great goal before him, and he was aware of the need of caring for every detail in order to assure victory. Having recognized the goal before him, Joshua took the steps necessary to achieve that goal. God had said that Joshua would conquer exactly as much land as he occupied. May we learn that our victory will be no better than our daily walk with God. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns deals briefly with a real being who is no joking matter, the devil.
The way the world thinks of the devil today is a joke. To most people, the devil's a joke. I've heard so many jokes about the devil. I've heard so many people's descriptions of the devil, and I've seen so many artists' impressions of the devil, that you could hardly blame people for treating him as a joke. And you know, that's the most subtle weapon in Satan's armory. His most subtle activity is to get men to treat him as a joke. But I want to tell you, he is no joke. The Bible says that as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the devil is walking about. Now, whether men like to believe it or not, and I'm not one for putting down all that men do and saying the devil made them do it and therefore they are not personally responsible. They are personally responsible for their own sins. But the devil is certainly walking around today. He is active today. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working or energizing in the children of disobedience. The Bible speaks of people who are taken captive by the devil at his will. The devil is not a joke. The devil is active. The devil is destructive. The devil is vile and depraved, and he's spreading vileness and depravity, and he is exacerbating every situation of human sinfulness. He is certainly accommodating and facilitating and urging all the natural inborn wickedness of men and women. Satan is active in our world today. He is not a joke. He is certainly binding, blinding men. He is making them miserable in life and damning their souls to eternal misery in hell. Now, with all that in mind, you can appreciate the power of the question that the Lord asks through Isaiah the prophet. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? If the devil is so active and so powerful, how can people ever be taken out of his hand? How can they ever be delivered from his power? Jesus Christ, our Savior, described Satan as being like a strong man, armed, sitting in his house and keeping his goods. You've got this great armed devil, as it were, and he's in possession of men and women's lives, and he's going to defend that possession. Now, who can cast him out? I know that you can see a whole lot of charismatic charlatans on television any day, and they're casting out the demon of this and the demon of that and the demon of the other thing, and they're talking nonsense. They know nothing of what they're affirming, and they're not casting Satan out. They're simply making the devil a joke and thereby enhancing his hold over man. Who can disarm that strong man? Who can cast him out? Who can overpower him? Who can take the prey out of the hand of the mighty? Those are the questions that arise from Scripture. You certainly can't do it yourself. So who can do it? The Bible tells you in John chapter 8, verse 36, whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ is the great liberator. He is stronger than the strong man. He can enter in. He can defeat him and deliver his goods. You look at Mary Magdalene. The devil had possession of her life. Seven devils possessed her. Jesus Christ set her free. You go to Mark's Gospel chapter 5, and there you've got the story of the demoniac of Gadara, a man possessed by a legion of devils. The devil had such possession of him, he made him live among the tombs, a naked outcast from society who struck fear into all around him. If you want to know what the devil was going to do with that man as soon as he could, then just see what the devil did when Jesus cast the demons into the herd of swine and they dashed headlong to their death. The devil meant to destroy the man as well. But Jesus came and he set him free. If you are bound by Satan and sin, bound in booze, in drugs, in pornography, in wickedness, in gambling, whatever the wickedness may be, Jesus Christ can set you free. If you're bound in self-righteous pride, Jesus Christ can set you free. He is able to save to the uttermost. If he sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, I trust you'll get to Christ, the great liberator.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Joshua had to learn that he would conquer exactly as much land as he occupied. Put that in other words, words that will be much more easily applied to the daily Christian life. Joshua had to learn that his victory would be no better than his daily walk with God. His victory would be no better than his daily walk with God. And that's why Joshua had to make every single step count for God. He had to walk humbly with his God. He had to walk in fellowship with his God.
He had to walk day by day with the light of God's Word streaming down upon his pathway in total submission to the dictates of that Word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Joshua had to walk in order to win in the warfare. Men and women, that's the way it is with you and me. These things are true in our lives. There are two things, therefore, we must consider. What are our main objectives? And what steps must we take to achieve them? The Apostle Paul said, "To me to live is Christ." It's very easy to say that. But Paul could make such a statement. That is one of the most amazing statements that any man has ever been able honestly to make. Paul could make such a statement because he was totally sold out to his God. There were no ifs, no buts. There were no caveats, there were no hiding places. Paul was sold out to Christ to live or to die. To me, to live is Christ. Before him ever, he had Christ. Paul's outlook in life was never, how much money will I make? How much popularity will I gain? How much success will I achieve? That was never Paul's outlook. Paul's outlook was Christ. How will this glorify Christ? How will this set forth Christ? He could boast, and I say boast because that's the word that he himself liked to use. He could boast to the churches of Galatia that he had evidently set forth Christ before them. To me, to live is Christ. What an objective. What an objective. That's putting it in very, very wide terms. But I think that it's a very attractive way of putting it for the child of God. But as you think of that, I want you to sit back before the Lord today and ask yourself the question, what is my life? What is my life? What is my life all about? Now let's not hide behind empty phrases. Let's not hide behind mere hypocritical assertions. Let us lay our hearts bare before our God today and simply face the question, for me to live today is what? What is it to live? What does life really mean to me? What is my great goal in life? What are all my energies channeled toward? Is there anything that I can say, that is life for me? That, my friend, is your objective. And I would say to you very clearly that no Christian ought to have any other great goal, main goal in life than that of the apostle. Christ. Christ must be the whole reason for our living. Now that will translate into the very aims that Joshua had. Defeating the devil, defeating the enemy. We are told in God's word that we must resist the devil. We are told that the purpose of the coming of the Son of God was to destroy the works of the devil. There's no doubt about that. So our aim must be to defeat the devil. We are to wrestle against not mere flesh and blood. We are to wrestle against those principalities and powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places. We are to defeat the devil. Now look at your life today. In every area of your life, and in every area of my life, the aim must be the defeat of the devil. The expulsion of the devil from the ground that he has taken. The territory over which he has usurped authority. If you're in this meeting as a Christian today and you find there are areas where sin and Satan are reigning and ruling, they are places from which you must expel the devil. There must be a commitment to such a goal. We could put it in another way. The goal of the Christian, as in Joshua's case, must be to follow the Lord fully. Joshua had to follow on along the path the Lord led. He had got there to this place at which the Lord said these things by following the cloudy, fiery pillar, when it moved, where it moved, how fast it moved, how slowly it moved. He did exactly what the Lord led him to do, fully follow the Lord. That was the Lord's own testimony also of Caleb. When the others turned back, God says, he has wholly followed me. Now that's to be our goal. And then surely that is going to mean, as in Joshua's case, that we will need to experience the power of the Spirit of God to do the otherwise impossible, especially in the experience of revival. Now this is the kind of aim that a Christian must have. And in saying that, I emphasize that we should never lose sight of the ultimate goal. Because soon all these struggles with Satan and sin and discipleship will all be over. Soon they'll all be gone. We're going to face the Lord. And our ultimate goal must be, as John put it in 1 John 2:28, to abide in him in order that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And as we pursue that goal, I emphasize something I have preached for years in this church. We pursue it not in some legalistic spirit of bondage, but we pursue it by faith in Christ. We pursue it by looking unto Jesus. We must live our lives, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we must live our lives as a reaction to Calvary. That is what I mean by setting our objectives before us. But when we have done so, we must come to the second question. What are the steps to achieve those objectives? We must emulate Joshua's practical use of means. So here's the question we have to ask. What is my spiritual desire? How do I achieve it? Think of Paul again in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's his great desire? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the desire. But what are the steps toward that desire? Forgetting the things which are behind. A most difficult thing to do. We tend to live in the past. We tend to live in the afterglow of our successes or in the shadow of our defeats. Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind, then reaching forth. It's one thing I like about Paul. I would to God I could really emulate him. Reaching forth. still in the stretch for God, still living with expectancy, still with a vibrancy about his life. Years have gone by, years of hardship and travel, years of disappointment and betrayal, as well as of great success and blessing. Here's the old battle-scarred warrior of the faith. You would think now that he could say, well, I've seen everything that is to be seen. I've done everything that is to be done. I'm getting sort of tired. But no, he says, I'm still reaching forth. I'm still not settling down. I'm looking forward. Let me stop there. How many of God's people are really on the stretch for God?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.